Well, good morning again. You've all fallen asleep. Good morning again. There we go. We're still here. That's great. So it is my privilege to get to share with you today from God's Word on the second week of Advent. And just to recap, last week Pastor Nate shared about the hope of Christmas, this hope that comes in the fact of Jesus freeing us from sin and death and darkness and chaos, that he invites us into his kingdom in the here and not yet, and that we have this hope because Jesus came and died and is coming back again. And so this week we're looking at our second theme of Advent, which is on joy, and we're going to do that by reflecting on the story of the shepherds from Luke 2 that Bill read for us earlier. But before we jump into this, I need us to understand something, and Rich and Leslie, you guys did a great job at alluding to this idea that happiness and joy aren't the same thing. We've got joy, that's that deep, soulful experience, and happiness, that's kind of this surface level of feeling, of fun and pleasure. I mean, there are many things that bring us happiness in our lives. We know certain TV shows bring us happiness. Spending time with family brings us happiness. Here in Ottawa, we find happiness when the canal actually freezes and we get to go skating on it, or when we get to go over into Gatineau in the summer and the fall and hike through the park there. Now, these things, they aren't bad things. Great way to have fun and bring us pleasure, but we have to recognize that those things aren't enough. They are insufficient in bringing us true joy if that's all there is to them. I want to ask, do you ever find yourself at Christmas, you know, Christmas is over, you're returning all those gifts to the store that nobody wanted or you got duplicates of, or family's gone home, packing up those decorations, do you ever find yourself asking, is this all there is to Christmas? Or maybe you had a great Christmas, you got everything you wanted, your family was all there, and for the first time in decades, no one argued with each other. Or you held that Christmas party and put your new tablecloth out and no one spilled punch on that, but you still find yourself asking, is this all there is to Christmas? See, in the world we live in, it's so easy to let this thought creep into our minds. Is this all there is to Christmas? Is this all there is to happiness and to joy in my life? I mean, look around us with the way our world is, with the wars and hate and violence. It's easy to wonder if that happiness is actually going to be taken away from us. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have both happiness and joy. You can have them. They can happily coexist. But what you have to understand is that these feelings of happiness are fleeting, whereas joy is what roots us and grounds us in our faith. And that's why we're going to look at true joy today from the shepherd's perspective, and then we can look at how we can each attain that joy in this Advent season. So I'd invite you to get your Bibles or your devices out and turn to Luke 2. It will be on the screen, but I always like to encourage you to grab your own Bible so that way you can highlight things, make notes as we go. So up to this point in our Christmas story, Mary was visited by an angel and told that she will give birth to God's son. And an angel appeared to Joseph and let him know that Mary's not crazy. She is going to give birth to God's son. And they go off to Bethlehem, and they can't find a place to stay, and so they end up in this stable, and it's there where Mary gives birth to Jesus and places him in a manger, and that's where we're picking up our story today, beginning at verse 8 in Luke 2. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. So when Luke is writing that there were shepherds in the fields nearby, he's referring to just outside of Bethlehem. Got a couple pictures up here. This is of Bethlehem. It's kind of a small town, about 1,000 people or less. It was situated up on top of a hill, and down in the valleys were these fields and pastures. And in the wintertime, they would actually be growing with wheat and barley. And so the shepherds had to go further out of the town to the wilderness to take their sheep. But then they would harvest the wheat and the barley in the spring. And in the summer, the shepherds could bring their flocks back just outside of Bethlehem, and the flocks would eat from what was left in the field and fertilize those fields for the coming fall when they would plant again. And so it's in this summertime that the shepherds were actually just outside of Bethlehem, out under the stars, and the clear sky. And so unlike how we celebrate Christmas here in Canada in the dead of winter, most likely this all took place in the summer in Bethlehem. Another thing I want us to look at before we go any further is who are these shepherds? What are they? They would be your kind of blue-collar working group of that day. These guys are constantly moving around, moving their goods as in their flock from place to place, working night and day. Think of them like truckers. These were the truckers of those days. They're out on the dirt road. I don't know when they would bathe, but they're out with those animals, so they probably got a pretty bad smell to them as well. And that might be part of the reason why the people in the town don't really want to associate with them. They see them as dirty people, kind of at the bottom of the totem pole socially. But something cool happens in our story to this group that no one associates with. Look at verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I mean, wouldn't you be if you were going about your day-to-day business and all of a sudden the angel came out of nowhere to speak to you? Pretty sure we'd all be afraid. But the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David or in Bethlehem, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." How many of you could have said that you could have just recited those verses without me having to have it on the screen or have it in your Bible? A lot of us kind of know this by memory. We've heard it since we were in Sunday school. But I wonder, have you ever stopped to actually look at this verse, to break it down, ask some questions about it, or do we just pass it off as this is just another story that we hear at Christmas? See, for a while, I've wondered this one question on this story. Why did God choose these guys? Why did he choose the ones that were at the bottom of the totem pole socially? These guys with the smell, why did he choose them? Why not come to the whole city? Why not come to the kings and the rulers to proclaim Jesus' birth? Why these guys? Come up with a few reasons, and they kind of get deeper as we go. The first is that most likely, these are some of the few people that were awake that night. I mean, aside from Mary and Joseph. I know we sing Silent Night, but anyone with a newborn knows it's not a silent night. But these guys are probably the only other ones awake at that time. But I think it could go deeper than that. Think of Jesus' ministry. He wasn't hanging out with the rulers and the kings and the emperors. He's hanging out with those that society kind of pushed aside, the least of these. So we see this paralleled in how God chose to come to the shepherds, the ones that society shunned, to proclaim the birth of his son. We can go even deeper than that, though, because think of it. When Jesus starts his ministry, who does he become? He becomes the great shepherd. He's put in place to take care of his sheep and his lambs, meeting us as his children. And these shepherds that God chooses to announce the coming of his son to reflect that role that his son would one day take on. If you think of towards the end of Jesus' life on earth, he became the spotless lamb who would be a sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. Therefore, these shepherds were not merely lowly shepherds in God's eyes, because he was using them to set up his master plan. So we have the angels have come and they've shared the news with these shepherds, and we continue on in our story in Luke 2:15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here's another spot to ask a great question. How were Mary and Joseph okay with this? Think of it. They just had their son, placed him in a manger. They may have just gotten him to sleep. And out of nowhere, these guys with a smell that follows them show up and be like, hey, we're here to see your baby. What happens? Nothing. Mary, Joseph, they don't bat an eye. It says Mary treasures up these things and ponders them in her heart. Could we say that we would do the exact same thing? I mean, my son was born during COVID, so no visitors were allowed in the hospital. But when Madeline was born 6 years ago, we had just been in hours and hours of labor. Sam is finally getting to sleep after emergency C-section. And if I was holding the baby and all of a sudden these truckers walked into our room and were like, hey, we're here to see your baby. Pretty sure I'm not treasuring and pondering that in my heart. I'm probably calling security at that point. But Mary understood what was happening in that moment. And she was kind of making this memory scrapbook in her mind by treasuring and pondering these things in her heart. Our story goes on to finish in verse 20 where it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as it had been told to them. See, I chose this passage today because we're lighting the candle of joy. And this count of Christ's birth is riddled with so much joy. We've got the joy in Mary and Joseph in having Jesus born as their son. And then you've got the shepherds that are filled with joy in getting to see Jesus here on earth. And you've got the angels who are filled with joy in getting to bring that good news to these shepherds. You can't read this story without realizing that joy is a major theme in it. But the main reason I wanted to share this is because I think there's three lessons we can take from the shepherds and apply it to our lives. And so the first of these is that joy is not dependent on circumstances. This joy that's found in Christ's birth goes beyond any circumstance that we will ever face in our lives. If you look back at the shepherds, they probably grew up hearing of the prophecies, maybe from Isaiah, as we'd read in Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, that for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. See, they'd probably heard that Jesus was going to come. They knew that he would be the one that would reestablish order here on earth and would rule and reign over all. And these angels come to them and tell them of this child who would fulfill this prophecy. And so they hurried off and saw him and then told everyone about what they had seen. And eventually they get back to their fields and just keep going with their job. Their circumstance never changed. They were still doing the same job. They were still shepherds. No matter how much time progressed, nothing in their circumstance changed. It remained the same. The only thing that was different, though, was that they knew that Jesus, their long-awaited Messiah, was finally here. God's plan was being fulfilled. And in that moment, their perspective changed. And with that came this newfound internal joy that was rooted in the confidence and knowing that God was up to something. How many of you have children? By a show of hands. Quite a few of you have children. Can you remember back to when they were born? That first moment that you got to hold them in your arms? Hopefully, the following things were not the thoughts going through your head. Maybe thoughts like, finally, someone that I can control, someone that will listen and obey every word I say. If you've got kids, you know that doesn't happen. Maybe it was a thought of, finally, I have someone that can do my chores for me so I can kick back and relax. If you have kids, you know that doesn't happen either. Or maybe it was the thought of, finally, amazing tax rebates. I'm just going to say, if those were any of your thoughts when your child was first born, maybe go back and revisit those, because you missed out on this experience of great joy in that moment. See, I remember the first night when I got to hold Madeline. Sam was sleeping, recovering from surgery, and here's a picture. I just sat up all night holding her. I was so happy to finally have our daughter in my arms. I mean, if you ask Sam, I had wanted a child from the moment we got married. I love kids. I wanted to have kids of my own. And in that moment, yes, there were lots of thoughts of fear on becoming a parent, but that joy that I had in that moment of her finally being here and being real in my arms was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. This moment, though, that I had, I don't even think is worthy to compare to what those shepherds experienced that first Christmas. That joy that came in realizing that Jesus was here and real, and though their lives remained virtually the same, they now had a joy that was not dependent on their circumstances. There's a Christian band called For King and Country. It is my all-time favorite band, and it is led by two brothers, Joel and Luke Smallbone, and Joel was being interviewed by a radio show called Keep the Faith on their new song, Joy, at the time, which was their second track on their album, Burn the Ships, and he was sharing what joy was all about to him. This is what he says. He says, think of the stories of Paul. He's in these cold, dark, damp cells with chains that were probably burning into his skin and into his bone. He's in physical pain, and yet he's singing. It's preposterous. It doesn't make any sense. To me, that's joy. I would contrast happiness and joy. I look at happiness, and there are so many things that make me happy. He says, a certain television show makes me happy. Spending quality time with my wife makes me happy. But this intense joy has to be deeper than circumstantial. Otherwise, you're just a slave to your circumstances the whole time. Honestly, that's one of the most beautiful things about what Jesus came to offer was your joy, your peace, your understanding was no longer tied to your circumstances or your family or anything else. It was actually tied to something that was much firmer and stronger. This joy of Christmas goes beyond our circumstances. Now, for some, I know the circumstances at Christmas are not always joyful. I want to recognize it's not always the easiest time of year for anyone. But for many in this dark time where joy is hard to find, I think we can all take a moment and remember that this joy that we have in Christ has grounded us in our faith. That no matter what we're going through, no matter how dark things can get, we can cling to this joy that came to us that moment we first met Jesus. That joy that is no longer dependent on our circumstances, nor the moments in our stories where we find ourselves feeling wounded and broken. It's a joy rooted in the trust that Jesus is present, loving, good, and cares for us just as a shepherd would care for his sheep. So the first thing we learn is that joy is not dependent on circumstances. The second is that joy is in the ordinary. Joy can be found in your everyday routines. See, I remember growing up and I was involved in swimming lessons in the winter. I played soccer in the summer. In high school, I was on a Christian performing arts team for 9 months out of the year. I volunteered with our kids program at our church. I went to youth group and I was on the worship team on Sunday morning. My siblings had a list about the same length. And my parents, my mom is here, she can attest to this, but they drove us everywhere almost every night of the week, it felt like, to something else. And this is something that I personally forgot when I thought about having kids. I mean, as I said, I always wanted kids, wanted to have them, and I wanted them to find an interest in something, and I wanted to have them enjoy that, but it seems that I forgot that in doing so, someone's going to have to drive them to those events. I mean, Madeline is only 6, but she's already involved in ballet. She does that from the fall until the spring. And then in the summer, she plays soccer, and it looks like this next year, Caleb's going to be playing soccer as well, which means twice as many nights out, driving them. But you know what? As frustrating and stressful as it is to rearrange your calendar and take them to and from these events, it brings me so much joy to see them doing something that they actually love. Getting to sit on the sidelines this summer and watch Madeline start playing and learning what soccer is all about, even though her team lost the majority of their games, it was still great to see her having fun and learning these skills, even when they lost. And I mean, actually getting to be there when she scored her first goal. And then being there the next week when she scored her first hat trick. And a few weeks ago, I actually got to sit in on her ballet class. I mean, I've been to the recitals, but never in an actual class. I got to sit there with some other parents and watch the kids, and she was having fun dancing with them. And then the teacher pointed her out in front of the class and praised her for her skills and her discipline. That brought me so much pride and joy in that moment. And I can't wait for this summer when I get to sit on the sidelines again and watch Caleb start to learn what soccer's all about, even with all the driving. See, my joy is in that relationship that I have with my kids, both in their losses and their successes. This joy that I have in them then can become their joy, not in their circumstances, but in the love that I have for them in my own imperfect ways. And it's in these moments with my children that I can't help but think that this is a mere reflection of what happens when we understand how God sees us. That God is our Father, we are His children, and He has this love for us that is so pure and immeasurable. If we look back at the shepherds in our text today, after getting to hear from the angels, they go to see Jesus in the manger, and even after returning to their flocks, do you think that if anyone ever insulted them again, like, hey, you're nothing but a shepherd, you think that's ever going to stick anymore? Or is that just going to roll off? Because I'm thinking they would think, sure, I am a shepherd. You're right. But God chose me to send His angels to announce His Son's birth to me. I'm not just a shepherd. I am the one that God saw and chose above everyone else to share this news with. I'm not just a shepherd. See, I think that the shepherds in that moment weren't just shepherds. The same way that the streets of Bethlehem were no longer just the streets of Bethlehem. The same way that that field was no longer just that field. The joy that they experienced in each of those places, they got to relive that. Every time they walked down the street, hey, remember when we got to share the good news of Jesus' birth with everyone along this street? Hey, remember when we were in this field and the angels came that one night? It changed their experience of their ordinary day-to-day lives. But one thing that I found in our world today is that we are so busy and rushing around that everything is just another day at the office. It's just another movie, another online order, another coffee from Tim's, another trip, another post on our social media, that we don't take the time to stop, to even ask ourselves, what is this all for? Is this all there is to happiness and joy in my life? See, we've been rushing around so much that we've lost that joy that is the core to our relationship with God. This joy that He's given us, that goes with us each day, allows us to find joy in what we do. See, this joy is internal, yet as we focus on it throughout our days, we are able to find outward expressions of joy that God has given us in the mundane tasks. That is what it's all for. Remembering that our true joy is rooted in Jesus, and in turn, He has given us so many things to find joy in throughout our day. This joy that we found at Christmas, this joy that was proclaimed to the shepherds, reminds us that there is a God who made us, a God who sees us and actually delights in us. Psalm 149:4 reminds us that for the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with victory. See, once we see ourselves through God's eyes, it brings us joy that changes how we experience our everyday, day-to-day lives. A joy that pours out of Him, our Father, into us, His children. So the first thing we learned was that joy is not dependent on circumstances. The second is that joy is in the ordinary. And the final is that joy is to be shared with others. And this has two sides to it. The first side is that joy is to be shared with others through our resources and our time. What is something that you really love doing, something that brings you joy? Maybe it's cooking, maybe it's baking, maybe it's actually getting just to sit in silence and listen to someone else's story Maybe it's knitting. Maybe it's volunteering with an organization, serving in the church. What would happen if you took that thing that you love doing, and shared it with someone else? This thing that fills you with joy, what if you shared that joy with somebody else? What would that look like? I've discovered there's a simple equation to joy that I'll share with you. Have joy, give joy, get joy. And I have a story to back this up. When I was first attending Sunnyside, we had a downtown site. It was our campus site. At that time, it was at the Uville Center. I was on staff with them as the worship leader and student ministries director, and one of my jobs was to run a small group. And so one Christmas, Pastor Matthew came to us and said, I want each of the small groups to find an organization in your community and support them this Christmas. And so our group got together and we decided that we would partner with the Big Brothers Big Sisters Holiday Hamper Program. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's we go out and we buy a laundry hamper and then we fill it with everything that this family that's been assigned to us would need for Christmas dinner. And so we were assigned a single mom that had a preteen daughter. And so we filled that basket with everything they would need for Christmas dinner, and then we even threw some gifts in there as well for them. And it brought us so much joy to fill up this basket for this family that was in need so they would be able to celebrate that Christmas. But then we got to share that with them because we actually got to go ring their doorbell and hand that basket to them as a group and see the joy on their face when we handed that to them. That actually filled us with even more joy than when we arrived. But look back at our passage today. Mary has delivered Jesus. They place him in the manger, and the shepherds were told by the angels what had happened. And so in verse 16, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. But what happened when they left? Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. See, Mary and Joseph, they had this incredible sense of joy. Not only was their first child born, but their first child ended up being the Son of God. Now, probably it wasn't all joy, because if you think about it, they're stressing about, is there going to be a spot for us to actually deliver God's son? But God provides and gives them this stable. And here they are in there, and in walk these shepherds that are filled with such great joy to witness what the angels had told them of the birth of their Savior. This joy that the shepherds brought with them actually helped Mary and Joseph to have a deeper understanding of joy in their circumstance, which obviously was less than ideal. In that stable, they were reminded that even in the mess, God's there. Joy can be found. And so they, in turn, were filled with joy. Now, I know what you're thinking. In the passage, it never says that Mary and Joseph were filled with joy. But in this verse, it says that Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. I don't know about you, but if I'm making a scrapbook of things, I'm not going to put down all the things that I hated and the things that did not bring me joy, because I don't want to relive that. I'm making a scrapbook of things that brought me joy so I can relive that each time I read that book. When Mary is treasuring these things up and pondering them in her heart, she's making that mental scrapbook again. She's holding on to that joy. If you want to go further, you look at Jesus' ministry on earth. Think of all the people that society had shunned. He's the one that decided to go out of his way to spend time with those people, to serve them. Think of the joy that that must have brought each of them. And it obviously brought Jesus joy because he kept doing it. He didn't stop. There is no greater joy in life than serving others. Now, the other side of joy needing to be shared with others is by sharing the good news of Jesus with others. I want to ask, when was the last time that you couldn't stay quiet about something that happened in your life? Usually when big events happen in our lives, we get excited. We want to share that with someone. We can't keep it quiet. Maybe it's you're expecting a child. You gave birth to a child. You got engaged. You got married. Got a new house. You got cured from an illness. Maybe you got a promotion at work, a new car. I mean, these are things that we want to share. When I got engaged to Samantha, we got engaged on Christmas Eve. We're going to the Christmas Eve service. I'm like, yes, I'm going to get to share it with my whole church that we are engaged. We're going to get married. I didn't want to share it with her dad, though, because we didn't see eye to eye on the situation. But after some poking and prodding by her, I did talk with him, and we are all good now. But I couldn't wait to share that joy with others. But these things that happen in our lives are things that bring us happiness. Happiness is based on our circumstances. Joy is rooted in that relationship with Jesus. It's one of those fruits of the Spirit that outpours into that relationship with him. This would allow us to be happy without actually having real joy that's internal and unchanging, because it's rooted in a love that's unchanging in Jesus. So if these things in our life actually bring us happiness and maybe not the full sense of joy, then let's ask ourselves another question. This one might be a little harder, but when was the last time that you couldn't stay quiet about Jesus? When was the last time that you couldn't stay quiet about Jesus? When was the last time that this good news of Jesus Christ coming to die for your sins, to offer you a relationship with him, to give you salvation and eternal life, even when none of us deserved that, when was the last time that you were filled with so much joy from that that you couldn't keep it to yourself, you had to tell someone else? This is the problem I find with us as believers. I'm putting myself in there too. As other events in our lives that happen that bring us happiness, like babies and weddings and jobs and houses, we can't wait to share that with someone else. But this joy that is found in the birth of Jesus and him dying for our sins far outweighs the joy of these other things in our lives. But if we are so quick to share these other things that really, in comparison, are insignificant with others, how come the good news of Jesus doesn't get the same airtime from our lips? I've asked some people what their reasons are for not sharing the good news with others, and the number one reason is fear. What are they going to say? How are they going to look at me? How are they going to treat me now that they know I'm a Christian? Those are reasons. But what if instead of living in that idea of fear, we actually stepped out of that and decided to model ourselves after the shepherds? These guys, they knew that people didn't like them. They knew that people were talking behind their backs. But in that moment of meeting Jesus, they were filled with this joy that he brings, that they couldn't stay quiet. Look again at verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. See, in that moment of true joy, they didn't care what other people thought or what they said. They couldn't keep it contained. They had to tell everyone. Keep in mind, again, this happened at night. Everyone's probably sleeping. They didn't care. That is how powerful the good news of Jesus is, that it is worth waking people up for. This joy that is not dependent on our circumstances, this joy that is found in the ordinary, this joy of Christmas is to be shared with others. So as we look to continue in this season of Advent, I want to encourage each of us to do what Pastor Nate actually instructed us to do last week, which was to slow down. Take time and slow down. Reread these accounts of the Christmas story from Scripture and ask yourself, is what I'm doing all there is to Christmas? The busyness, the family, the carols, the gifts, the cookies, is this all there is to Christmas? Is this all there is to joy in my life? Maybe instead try to shift your focus off of the joy in the material things and to the true joy of Christmas, the joy that was found at Christ's birth, this joy that is not dependent on our circumstances. Let this joy become the grounding and rooting in your faith, that no matter what you are going through, you will allow it to permeate through your circumstances and change your experience. And then try focusing on the joy that's in the ordinary. Look for joy in your everyday life. Stop rushing around, just doing things for the sake of doing them. Maybe pause and ask God to show you that joy in what you're doing. And then go beyond that. Find a way of making those markers in your life that you can relive that joy again and again. For our family, we go every couple of years during March break down to Florida. And we drive down. I know that's crazy to do with small children, but we drive down there and we stop and make these memories with our kids along the way, whether that's at zoos or museums or indoor playgrounds. And what we do at each of those spots when we leave is we get a magnet. And on the side of our fridge are the magnets of all the places that we visited together. And from time to time, the kids will go up and be like, hey, remember when we saw this animal at this wildlife reserve? Hey, remember when we did this at that science center? We're able to relive that joy time and time again because we found a way to make these markers in our lives. But finally, and most importantly, is to share joy with others. Find a way to serve someone else this Christmas. I mean, we're already doing this as a church. We're doing these reverse Advent boxes where we're collecting items for Restoring Hope and Capital City Mission. But how can you go beyond that? How can you do something more for someone? Maybe it's making someone a meal. Maybe it's just being a listening ear for someone that's going through a difficult time this Christmas. Maybe there's a young family you could offer some childcare to over the holidays. Or maybe it's even serving in one of the ministries in this church. Because remember that equation, you've got joy. You're going to give it to someone, and you're going to be filled up just as much as you're pouring out. But remember, the ultimate thing is that this joy that has to be shared is the joy of the good news, great joy from God. You need to take that step past living in fear of what people are going to say and what they're going to think and what they might do and stay rooted in the joy that Christ brings and share that with others this Advent season. Because if you don't, who will? It's easy to say, oh, someone else is going to get them at some point in life. They'll tell them about Jesus. You don't know that. You may be the only interaction that they have this holiday season to share Christ and his good news with them. Imagine the shepherds decided not to share the good news of great joy with everyone on the way back. What if they just went back to the field? What would have happened? Where would the joy have gone? If you don't share the good news of Jesus with one person, they may never hear it and may never have the chance to experience that joy that Jesus brought to them that first Christmas. Let's pray. God, we thank you for sending your son that first Christmas to usher in this new joy into our lives, God, this joy that goes beyond our circumstances. We pray that as we continue through this Advent season, that you would help us to root ourselves in this joy, to focus on it, to be able to find little slivers of joy in the things that we're doing, that we would slow down in the busyness of this Christmas time and to focus on you, that real gift of joy, and that we would be able, help us all to be able to step out of that idea of living in fear of what people are going to say and do, and help us to adopt this model that the shepherds shared, that we would not worry about what others would think, but that we would be able to share that good news of great joy with each person that we meet this Christmas season, God. That they would then be able to experience the gift of joy that you have for them. Amen.